Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show through BBS Radio. And we're on Saturday from 4 to 6 Eastern Time. And today, we haven't been able to line up any of our guests for today, so we're still trying to hold on and trying to line up some of the guests that we had scheduled for today. So we're going to try to go ahead and proceed with that. In the meantime, I guess I'm going to just fill in a little bit of my own mystical studies and try to arrive at something. I'm not sure what. My Zero Point website is at zeropoint.ca, and I have up there my 6 books, which are published in the areas of the Gurdjieff Uspensky teaching, the mystical views of the origin and nature of human consciousness, and then a secret doctrine. And on the physics of the secret doctrine, which was published in 1888 and is revised today. And then I have books on zero-point teachings, which is one of my favorite items. And it has the idea of that a human being, that we come down from higher dimensional spaces into the physical body. And that's what is embodied in the zero point teaching. And that emerges through the heart. And that's the basis of that book. And lastly, I have published...
One of your guests is on, line 2, Athena.
Okay, thank you. Great. So, lastly, I've just published a book, 1137, which is on line, and yeah, it's also very interesting. I hear Athena. Athena. Hello.
It's Afsane.
Oh, Asana. Hi, Asana. How are you?
Hi.
Okay.
Good to see you. How are you?
Okay. Difficult being back from traveling across Canada. But that
yes.
was fun to come out to the Vancouver Truth Movement and come out for that and then to meet you and some other people we're trying to line up for today. So,
yes, it was fun. It was lots of fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So, well, I was. I'm just gonna go back and tell my story, just traveling across Canada, and then I'll come out to BC. Okay, and then you can tell your story. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, I began from Ottawa to go out to BC in. Early June, and throughout the province of Ontario, I couldn't see any chemtrails because there were overcast clouds most of the way. But once I got to the northerly route of Saskatchewan, of Canadian, the Rocky Mountain Shield there, what is it? My goodness, I can't remember what this is I'm trying to describe.
The Kootenay Mountains?
Well, no, before that, it was before in Ontario, up in northern, northern lakes of Ontario. And I couldn't see any chemtrails there, and I couldn't until I got out to Deep River. And then I saw some there that night, and then went into the mountains south of... Murray, goodness, and then I saw them there, and then I arrived in Vancouver, and they were all over the sky of Vancouver on a pretty consistent basis. So then I'm going to turn it over to you, Athena. How long have you been aware of?
I guess about 2008, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, my very first time was I was sitting in a park with a friend of mine and my their nanny, actually, and my two nephews. And we were just sitting there soaking. It was actually a cold spring, and it was the first day that the sun had come out, and it was all heating up. It was late May. And we sat down, there was a bunch of people there, and all of a sudden some small twin-engine planes, you know, Cessna-type planes, repeatedly made passovers on this, you know, this was in suburbia, this was a small town somewhere, right? And within a half hour, the entire sky was overcast with this hazy stuff, and the temperature dropped, and the wind picked up, the sun was gone. And I know I just kept turning to the nanny. I said, you know, is this what, you know, I think it is. Are these planes responsible for this? And she's like, yes, yes, I think so. And because it was sunny beforehand, right? And within half an hour, there were clouds. They can't say that I saw clouds coming in and forming. They were literally, it's just after these repeated passovers by, I don't know how many planes, could have been two or three planes that did repeated passovers. I don't know. Could have been many. But, in any case, it became very hazy, and the temperature dropped, and we went home, and that was my first, you know, encounter. And I went online and started figuring, you know, what is this? That was about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. And since then, you know, looking up in the sky, I've taken pictures, videos, phoned the airport, phoned the police.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do, almost, isn't there?
Well, yeah, there is. I mean, definitely. Well, and then I set up, of course, the two websites that I have, Vancouver Skywatch and Canada Skywatch, and just seeing the traffic grow and seeing people coming online. So there's more awareness of it today. However, it's hard to, I guess, get anybody in official capacity to acknowledge that this sort of stuff is going on. I did speak with the airport, and they did send me a report, which you know, I can't remember the name of this report, but from what I got after reading it was that in Vancouver we don't have jurisdiction after a certain amount of altitude. It's in the hands of the United Nations.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I gathered. Maybe I read it wrong, but
that's
what I gathered from the report.
That seems to be where it's coming from, don't you think? I would have thought.
Well, it has to be, considering that it's worldwide. You know, and I was shocked to see that this was all around the world, and everybody had been, and you know, I thought I was one of the first ones to put up a website. Meanwhile, there's websites from 1998, 1997.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, some of them are defunct now. I guess, you know, they tried. What happened to those people? I don't know. But now there's, like, if you go on to Vancouver Skywatch, you'll see there's literally hundreds of cities that have put up, or people living in different cities who have put up websites or blogs, you know, or a YouTube channel video documenting their...
Okay, thank you.
Their city.
Well, we just have another guest come in. Doug, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay, we're just talking here. I'm just talking with Athena.
Athena. Yes, yes. Just say Sonia if it's easier for you.
Okay, that sounds good.
So, okay, so, Sonia, so then you started up in that date or around that date putting up your own Skywatch elements, and you've got a lot of material up there. Can you describe some of what's on your website?
Sure. Well, at Vancouver Skywatch, it is a just all sorts of links, basically links to websites that from different cities. And then there's links, data resources, say like Carnicom, Cliff Carnicom. He is he's a guy from California, and he's been documenting this for a long time. And his angle is the diseases that are coming down, that are cropping up, say Morgellons disease. And he's researched that. He's the foremost researcher. And his name is Cliff Carnicom. You'll find that. And then there's media publishers. Those are YouTube channels. And then there's links to social networks, Facebook, Yahoo, Meetup, and so on and so forth. And at Canada Skywatch, that is an archive of interviews, documentaries, lectures, people, eyewitness reports from people. And that's an archive of basically what people have put on YouTube or any other, you know, media outlet. And I've collected them and put them and linked them, and so people can get a good, you know, take on chemtrails by visiting that site. Like basically all the latest documentaries and interviews, lectures that are going to bring you up to date on what's happening.
Yeah, very good.
And then you know, and then join, you know, find a social organization in your city. You know, first of all, look up to verify. Don't take my word for it, anybody else's word for it. Spend 2 weeks looking up in the sky. Take pictures and become familiar with what are actual cloud types, and then you'll be able to distinguish what are actually not clouds, you know, and spend some time, and then hopefully join some sort of organization in your city. And take pictures and videos and put them online.
So what do you think we can do as human beings alive on this planet at the moment? What do you think we can do to counter this?
I would say you have to raise awareness, which is, first of all, become particularly knowledgeable about the subject. I'm always learning about it every day, still every day. And raise awareness. It's tough because this is a particular, you're going to lose a lot of friends first. Because it's one of those things, you're not talking about Kim Kardashian or something, you know. You're talking about a very displeasing subject matter, about being sprayed by unknown forces, and it's being allowed to happen. First of all, it's too hard to grasp. It's too, so there's that wall that happens. And then you just gotta go on forward with it. There have been people that you know, at first didn't believe it, and you know, they started looking up, and then they've come on board. They understand that. First step is, in the beginning I was really disheartened. I was sure the mayor knew about it, and the police knew about it, and they were all conspiring to spray on us. And I've just come to the determination that they don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, they just don't know. Yeah.
They don't know. You know, they're so busy doing something else, this, that, and the other, and they're just normal people, and it's just as hard for them to grasp it as anybody else. And, and I don't know what else to say other than they're probably in a position, too, that if they do ask questions, the positions might be in line. So there'll be people who will, you know, quickly try to, you know, move to shut them down or something. So there's always that aspect of it. But they don't know. That would be the first thing. I think that just raise awareness. Attend, you know, there's What in the World Are They Spraying? It's a movie by Michael Murphy and G. Edward Griffin. Have a showing, you know, in your local city. Set up a, you know, rent out a room or something and set up a projector and show that movie, you know, and start reading, you know, start that way. Really, I think you can't sort of get people on board that it is happening unless they can actually be convinced that it is happening. You know, what is it, first of all? I know in New York, just recently in December, they managed to get a meeting, a local council meeting with local council members of Long Island, New York, and everybody came and took their turns to talk about chemtrails and telling them that it's got to stop.
Oh, yes.
I don't, and they have not yet, I don't know where it's, you know, what the term, I guess it takes a couple of months for them to come back with a verdict, but I know that they did do that.
Okay.
And that's what we can just do, is basically try to get our council members, our local officials, to at least ban whatever, you know, the United Nations or whatever, you know, worldwide military organization is responsible for, to at least not do it in our city, in our airspace.
Yes, for sure.
Well, it's can I interrupt?
Yes, go ahead, Gary.
Well, I'd just like to say again, thanks for bumping into you guys at such a time that we did. I think that was all meant for a reason. And
my biggest
thing right now is to make people aware of the difference of the clouds, to inform people that clouds do not spread from a spray from a jet. To get as many followers as possible and to make people aware of what they're doing is my whole perspective daily, and there's not a day goes by where I don't say something to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, information's out there, but force in numbers, strength in numbers, the more people to ask questions, the better off we're going to be on getting answers for this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody I was talking to the other day actually has an organic farm, and they're in full-fledged panic right at the moment that their organic status is going to be taken away when they start getting tested for other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this might be a message to send through if these organic farms start to fail. It's really tough to get believers. A lot of people think that these planes are just dumping unused fuel across our skies, but you know, even that dissipates within a short period of time when they do a fuel dump, from what I've read into so far.
Yeah.
You know, the cloud variations, I was talking to somebody the other day, and actually it was convenient at the time when I was talking to them that a plane went by and left this huge jet stream behind it. And I said to the fellow, I said, you know, let's come back outside again in an hour and a half and see what happens to that jet stream. And an hour and a half later, it turned the sky into nasty clouds.
Yeah.
We live in a blue sky part of the interior of BC right now, and customarily we have blue skies all day long with the odd natural cloud. Recently, it's been quite heavy. They've been spraying a lot here. UV warnings is another way of getting a point across from our standpoint, why they have not had any UV warnings in the last approximately 2.5 years. UV warnings used to be a constant thing of the media whenever it got hot, especially up towards where I live, because the temperature reaches well over 40 degrees here. And we haven't had any UV warnings lately, and I think that's a good argument point to put across to people. Well, why all of a sudden aren't we getting UV warnings?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of semi-naive people out there that don't really understand what's going on, and these little things are all what's going to point to them to second look at things.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Keep in mind, too, like contrails, regular contrails, would happen at anywhere above 25,000 feet.
Yes.
Clouds, most of these puffy clouds, will be at about 8,000 feet. So if you see a trail behind a plane that's close to an airport or something, is coming in for landing, and it leaves a trail of some sort, and it's going through the clouds, they're going at 8,000 feet, and that doesn't happen. Contrails don't form, especially
yes.
in the heat of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So things like that get, you know, being knowledgeable about the actual physics of when a contrail forms, what are the specific weather conditions that have to be there for a contrail to form, and then when you see something, but the climate or the conditions aren't there for it, what is it then, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the UV thing is a big one, though. I don't think a lot of people have really, they've just turned a blind ear, so to speak, that they haven't heard any UV warnings this year.
Yeah.
There was an announcement by one of the Lower Mainland Vancouver news persons last July, and he even said to one of the persons that was working there, isn't it strange how we haven't had any UV warnings this summer?
And but he wasn't the weather guy, was he?
No, it was Chris Galis, the regular anchor or whatever you want to call him, newsman. And, you know, I thought that was kind of strange but informative that he would mention that. Don't you think it's funny there's been no UV warnings this year?
Yeah.
If that's not a sign, I mean, it's...
So,
it's just a matter of gathering up strength in numbers to make people aware of what's going on, make people aware of, you know, when we all met at the gathering, we all actually cornered the same guy at the same time. I can't remember the fellow's name. He was a mountaineer and, you know, glaciologist and all the rest of this stuff, and our questions, I think, towards him were legitimate about why people we know and have heard of that have never smoked, never drank, never been exposed to any harmful chemicals except for their mountaineering experiences are dropping from cancers.
Wow.
And, you know, that has a lot of hold on it. Those guys are up way higher than what we are. When they're doing their mountaineerings, and, you know, they are definitely exposed to the brunt of what comes down firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And, that would take a little bit of research into that to see exactly how many people. I know of about a half a dozen personally myself that have developed odd cancers and never been exposed to it in their life, where they lived, where they worked.
Yeah.
There's a conference coming up, actually, in Los Angeles. It's called Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails. It's August 17th to 19th. There's going to be 15 expert chemtrails, and they're going to have also a debut of the follow-up film. It's called Why in the World Are They Spraying, which is a follow-up to the movie What in the World Are They Spraying?
Yeah.
So people might want to go and check that out as well. It's in Los Angeles, and they're selling tickets for it, so you can view it online.
So
wherever you are.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really good to put that out there. Well, we seem to be facing a kind of psychopathic elite through the UN. Is that what you both conclude, kind of? Is that what we're coming to, or... I don't know. At what level do you think that this is managed from?
One that's unmanageable for us.
Yeah.
You know, we have no power, no control over this. That's the point of feeling useless towards this is it becomes a little bit overwhelming every day I step outside the door and see a plane go by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people have to wake up, and I honestly think this fellow with the organic farm is going to start stirring up some trouble. It's going to cost him his business and his livelihood. But, you know, it can't be classified as organic anymore if this is indeed what they're spraying in the skies. And once things start getting tested a little deeper, then a lot of people are going to find that, hey, you know what, my livelihood is gone now because I can no longer have organic status.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know when I came to Vancouver, I came out with my two chemtrail videos on CD. CD. And
yeah.
Sophia's a small storm who's done, you know, she's everybody I think in who's it's sort of like the talking about chemtrails and making it to these conferences. She's her angle is that this is nanotechnology. This is there besides the weather management and climate management. Some really scary stuff. But this goes to when ruling elite. We're talking about mad scientists at the moment.
Yes, we are.
Who are got nanotechnology? They're spraying this stuff up there, and they want to take us to become a new form of human. I mean, that's in their own words, right?
Yeah.
She put together this little. You can find it on YouTube. It's called "From Chemtrails to Pseudo Life: The Dark Agenda of Synthetic Biology." And she, towards the end there, she puts together she just takes from commercials, not commercials, but I guess promotional material that they hand out at their conferences for nanotechnology and space age, cutting edge science there. And these guys are, you know, boasting about how they're just going to take humanity to the next level, whether we like it or not. You know?
Yes.
How they've developed these microscopic, you know, molecular robots, and they're being sprayed. I mean, I don't.
Population control. Population control. You know, that's what they want to do. Eat out the weak, leave the strong behind. And it's pretty sad.
Well, no, I think it's absolutely the other way around. They actually, they promote it as, oh, we can, you know, make people smarter and faster. But I think this is actually going to be worked the other way, where they're going to actually make us stupider and more docile and more conformist and less likely to object.
Oh, yeah, I mean, for sure. Docile is a scheduled word for us now. We're not supposed to pay attention to outside things. We're not supposed to pay attention to when they show clips on TV of outdoor events, concerts, air shows. You know, my eyes are in the sky every time I turn on the TV and see a background shot. And it's alarming now how many chemtrails you see go across the sky. And they're like, well, they're showing this as, well, this is normal. And they're just breaking people in. Oh, well, you know, we saw those lines on TV, so that must be the way it should be all the time.
Yeah. I have hope only as much as I, having had my experience in, you know, Vancouver 9/11 Truth, and, you know, the Truth Movement, to first of all be ridiculed. Like Schopenhauer says, at first they ridicule you, then they violently oppose you, and then they accept whatever you said as a matter of fact. So, and I think that's the, you know, and I've seen that in the Truth Movement, you know, 8 years ago, people were, you're crazy, you know, about this being an inside job, and now it's, you know, the cognition of the fact that it was an inside job is, you know, it's almost mainstream, but not mainstream. And I think it's going to have the same trajectory.
Yeah.
You know, so we hope we don't die before that.
That's right.
They don't electrify us before that.
Of something we have no control over.
When I came to Vancouver before, I brought my video out, and in it, I had a 30-minute chemtrail video of Kempville, where I live, and in the beginning of that, I showed like the the Star of David, or not the Star of David, but, you know, the, what am I trying
Parliament
to think of?
Parliament building?
No, no, the, I'm trying to show the other one, the, I'm forgetting what it is, the Georgia Guidestones. And it shows, and it has there, and it has the list, and the first point in each list is maintain Earth's population below 500 million. And it seems that we have some kind of psychopathic elite who have taken over the UN, who are trying to impose this on humankind.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I've been doing some more research about this sort of stuff, and, you know, where, who might, oh, this is sort of ties into the whole Israeli thing, too. And the upcoming Olympics, you know, everybody's talking about Zion, how it reads Zion, actually. I don't know if you heard about that stuff.
Yeah, I have.
You might research the British Israel World Federation, just or Bill Cooper's take on the British Israel World Federation. And this is about, this is, you know, we're talking about something like, you know, it's like the British Crown, from what I understand. It's really, it's you can, if you want to go right into where it's actually being coming from, it's coming from Britain. It's coming from you know, elitist, you know, the monarchy, the whatever you call the royal bloodline, but mainly, you know, focusing on Britain. And they've been going since the 1500s, I guess. Meanwhile, they, you know, they go, they've through Masonry, through Mormonism, Jehovah Witnesses, all sorts of, you know, what we might identify as secret societies. And I don't think they're going to be successful, personally. I think it's very scary. I think they've made a lot of headway, but at the same time, you know, there's all these, you know, people like us who just come out of nowhere and, you know, start talking about it. But, you know, if you want to know the nature of who, you know, to be, so they're not so anonymous, the nature of these psychopathic elites, and I wouldn't call them elites, I'd just call them, you know, inbred people.
Yeah.
And so inbred.
Yeah.
You know, they've just gone cuckoo. They actually believe that Tierra means something.
Tierra?
Other than, you know, Tierra, you know, putting a little monarchy, a little tiara on their heads and walking around and doing rituals.
Well, we already have one of those as believers, don't we? We're all marked.
Yeah. So I think if we can identify them or not, you know, we get a better chance of defeating them. And I, you know, I don't know... you know, if they, you know, and I think that just naming them, calling them for who they really are, and it, you know, it's the British Crown, I don't know. This is what Bill Cooper says. British Israel World Federation, and that's not just Bill Cooper. I heard that term like 20 years ago, and I didn't pay too much attention to it.
The British Crown?
Again. The British Israel World Federation.
Yeah.
It is an actual organization. You might want to check it out.
Yeah.
And this is where the British have, you know, through all the publications, the recent publications in which they're, like, who's that guy, Dan Brown, with his book about how he sort of aligned that, you know, the British monarchy has bloodlines all the way back to Christ. You know, this is all made up. It's all made up. But that's their, that was all just made up in the last 500 years. They're actually not related to Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
been a lot of authors, and they've paid a lot of people to come up with books, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, all of these, you know.
Yeah.
You know, get you to think that apparently Jesus married Magdalene or something, and they had a kid, and or they had a family, and the descendants are now sitting on the British throne. It's all crap. You know, it's not true. Meanwhile.
What is true? What isn't?
Pardon?
Said what is true and what isn't?
Well,
what they try and brainwash us into thinking that is true.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look at the Jubilee. Look at how people came out, and you know, Meanwhile, this is the richest woman in the world. And, you know, how many, and they were rioting because they were, because tuitions were so high and the kids couldn't go out and look at things. It's in bad shape. And yet, they're having a jubilee. And they're, apparently the cost of the Olympics, I heard, they were quoted at something like $8 billion, and now it's at $50 billion. And they haven't even opened the gates yet. They haven't even, you know.
Yeah.
I know here in Vancouver, we had the Winter Olympics, and they said it was going to cost $876 million. And just recently, I guess it was a year ago, they did some tally, and they said, oh, sorry, it's $4 billion.
So we were just checking out something here. Monica was checking out something on the computer about where they don't allow chemtrails to be sprayed. If other countries can recognize and say that, you know what, we're not going to put up with that in our country. There was a little blog here about a plane that got shut down in Cuba. Cuba shot one of their chemtrail planes down, and now they don't spray there anymore. China won't allow it either because they know it's toxic and don't want it dumped on them either.
Wow.
They did lots at the Olympics. They did a lot of cloud seeding, too.
Tons of cloud seeding. Tons of cloud seeding.
Tons of cloud seeding.
Cloud seeding. But, you know, if these other countries aren't allowing it, like, what is our country doing about it? They're just, are they saying that these countries that are disallowing it are nuts and they should be allowing it?
I think it's
this is where I think our followers come in. The followers come into play. The more people we can convince to open their eyes and ears and look at what's happening around, the better chances we have. The strength in numbers is going to say it all when, you know, I really just have my fingers crossed that there's going to be a huge rally in some major city in Canada that we could all go to. About the specifics of chemtrails and what it's doing to us.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be cumulative. The effects are cumulative. So, and I think that's what they designed it. I think if, you know, all of a sudden people drop dead, you'd have people jumping up and down. But it's cumulative effect. It's going to be showing up. I think I heard somewhere, too, they said, in about 10 to 15 years, we should expect that people will start getting Alzheimer's by the age of 40.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't say, they stop it, right? They don't say why we should expect that people will be getting Alzheimer's at age 40. They just say that, and then they sort of plant the seed in your head, and that's it, and they go on to the weather or something, you know?
And then bang, it happens, and, you know, it happens quite a bit. It's way more prevalent now than it was 10 years ago. You didn't hear about near as many diseases as ALS, Alzheimer's, Lou Gehrig's. You know, all these things are just increasing at tenfold every year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And but they're all, of course, blaming it on something else. They're not, you know, it goes back to our generically food, our alteration to our food system. Kids with asthma, kids with heart problems, kids with blood pressure problems.
Yeah.
You know, these are all part of the whole circle that goes around back to the modified seed generation, right?
Yeah, that's right. That which brings up the, you know, Monsanto actually has developed genetically modified seeds that are aluminum resistant, and they're spraying aluminum.
Yep.
So Monsanto is obviously involved in this too. I've got an article here. It's the U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health, and they have an article which they say right there that they have linked aerial spraying to multiple sclerosis in places like Sardinia, Massachusetts, Colorado, Boehm, Scotland, Saskatchewan. I mean, they do notice it, you know, and there are obviously some parts of the government who are noticing these and cataloging it.
It's just
I'm hopeful. I have to be hopeful. What else can we be?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we have to.
But anyway, the conference is a good sign. If anybody has a chance out there, go to, it's called Consciousness Beyond Chemtrail. If you can't remember that, just go to CanadaSkyWatch.com, and right there is a big banner, and you press on it, and you go to their website. And then you can view 15 chemtrails. I mean, from experts. You know, I'm not an expert, but 15 chemtrail experts will be talking about it. It's a three-day conference, and they actually will be talking about what we can do. It's called Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails, so they're contemplating what we have to do. You know, it is happening. What's our next step, right? And certainly they're bearing the brunt down there in California and Florida. They were spraying major in California before I think they started spraying anywhere else.
Oh, yeah, were they?
Right.
Spraying
NATO. They're spraying basically NATO countries. I heard somewhere, too, guess it was as soon as one particular country, one of the Eastern Bloc countries, signed on to NATO, the next day they started spraying that country.
Wow.
Iran, like Ahmadinejad, the president there, he actually came out and was talking about how we're getting these droughts because of the geoengineering that they're doing over Europe.
Yeah.
So some country, you know, do know about it. It's next generation warfare, you know.
Yeah.
That's right. The next generation of warfare, they just have to let go a couple planes and settle it.
Yeah.
It will stop. It has to stop. And I think just getting knowledgeable about it and then spreading the word.
Yes, definitely spreading the word. You know, some key points that I'm spreading is the UV thing and what it does after the plane goes by, what it does to the sky. I mean, those are simple things for simple people to pay attention to. A lot of the more complicated when you get into the whole loop of controversy with Monsanto seeds and the food chain and this and that and that. Well, that, you know, for a lot of people that are simple-minded, that's too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
To get them aware of the basics to begin with and then let them do their own research into it, I think, is by far one of the easiest approaches.
Yeah.
A politician's explanation to some people sometimes is confusing and overwhelming, and they have a tendency to shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know myself, I do, when it comes to certain things. If somebody's trying to explain something that's a little bit too lengthy for my likings, it's like, okay, get to the point and let's go from that point and sort this out.
Yeah. And I just want to add, too, in terms of keeping your house up, there are spraying heavy chemicals, metal toxins and so on. Some of the other things are spraying, too, that I don't know how to counteract that, but I know through chelation method, which is basically you can get that from cilantro. You can have cilantro extract or just eating raw cilantro or colloidal silver. And these are, it's called chelation, C-H-E-L-A-T-I-O-N, chelation process. And that basically draws the heavy metals out of your body.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cilantro, parsley, things like that.
So one thing we were going to announce today was we were going to announce this, me putting forward this $1,000 towards Chemtrail Canada. And we want to kind of go into that. This is Doug on the phone, eh, Doug?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were Tony initially. I don't know if someone in the studio there can still try to get hold of Tony, because I did want to bring Tony in on our last effort here. Okay, yeah, great. Thanks, Don. Okay, so...
Who is Tony?
Well, Tony is a friend from Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I stayed with him there at his place, and yeah. So he was going to come in, and hopefully, yeah, will join us.
Right on.
So are you going to announce the contest particulars, the details of it, or...?
Well, yeah, I think we should announce all the details of it, and I'll announce it on other radio stations too. And I don't know. He's not available. Okay. So Tony's not available. Okay, so what we should do is. In your website, do you have a map of Canada where there are different places across the country where there are chemtrail sites?
I could probably put up. I have links, but I haven't organized them where I would be there on a map. But I suppose it would take a couple of days to come up with something like that. And
I believe if you
I
go
put
on
that up, yep.
I believe if you go on Chemtrails BC,
mm-hmm.
Chemtrails BC has maps of different areas and spots on there where they're spraying across BC.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do they? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
they do.
Well, I wondered, Sonia, if you could work at something like that, then if we could send it out, our footage, to different places that they might have people there in that place that would put together a chemtrail movie for us.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, I'm sure there is. There's another lady that we talked to from Salmon Arm that has been quite involved with chemtrail activism for years and years, and she is really a good person to talk to. We talk to her online occasionally, and she's been following it from Salmon Arm, British Columbia, for quite a long time.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, Afsana, can you put that up on your website? Do you think you might be able to put that up? And then what we could, sorry?
I said yes, I can.
Okay, yeah, great. And then what we could do is try to send the emails around to those sites.
Sure.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. And then what we want to do is we want to kind of contact this Aerial Canada, like that a BC site. That's a BC site, Doug?
Yes. That's BC.
Yeah. Okay. So we want to contact them, and I thought that we should try to put this chemtrail videos. Like I thought we should try to put it out for 3 months, and possibly meet again in later November.
Sounds good.
Okay.
But I mean we want to see that we get I said on my application to you, Sonia, that I said that I wanted to at least get 7 copies ourselves. So what we will do is then we will set it on hold and try to come up with sometime in November that we would try to get it together.
Okay.
I'll
put that up. It should be up in about 2 or 3 days. Get the map sorted out, and then we'll send a notice out to all the Canadian websites, because I do have that section where it's just Canadians, you know.
Oh, yeah, good.
to them. I don't how to put it on a map or like a visual. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great. I think it'll be a good way to wake people up.
Oh, yeah, okay. You know, yeah, good.
Put some money in front of them.
Yeah, well, it's just a little bit of money, and the idea of the contest is the first third is $500 for the first place, and then $300 for the second, and $200 for the third, and we're wanting people to put together some chemtrail videos on their own. Like, it's not just sending in the chemtrails; it's putting them together a bit. And putting a title on it, and you know, it could be 7 to 10 minutes, or it could be up to half an hour. So it could be in either of those routes.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay. So, well, good. Okay. So we're up against the New World Order here now.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it seems to be run out of London, England. Like, it really does seem to be run out of London, England. It's really quite shocking. And
yeah, and you know, with ties to the Vatican, and of course the Opus Dei, and yeah, but you know, that's getting ahead of the chemtrails. This is, you know, but underlying, there are actually human beings. They are doing this, and they spread a lot of lies about how they're reptilians, or they're, you know, associated with the family of Christ and so on. But we shouldn't let that stop us from you know, prosecuting them for their crimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay, so we're going to have to start something pretty local like this. It'll be fun to observe what happens in California in the August conference. That'll be very interesting, and then we can maybe plan, you know, view that, and then plan our own efforts subsequently to that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that sounds great.
Okay.
So did you see any chemtrails on your way back to Ottawa?
Well, they were in BC, and then I went up inland, and I didn't see them up there. And then I came to Calgary, and they were in Calgary. And then I drove west beyond Calgary, and there were some in there, but not very many. And mainly, I didn't see any until I got to Winnipeg. And then I saw some in Winnipeg, and then
apparently in Saskatchewan, there's quite a few in through Manitoba.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have talked to other people that are somewhat believers that said they were plagued with them all across the prairies from Calgary all the way as far as North Battleford, I think it was.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. That you know, that's really good information to have. And I don't know what we do about it. I just don't see the solution to the whole thing. It's so beyond the realm of most people's public thinking.
It is.
It's hard to believe that there are people like on the world stage who can't think in these types of terms, like how to eliminate 6.5 billion or something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty disturbing, and
yes.
It really needs a kind of examination of everything.
Yeah, no, so, you know, and I think maybe, you know, maybe they won't do it, but maybe the psychological impact is really debilitating, too. I mean, there's element too, the putting that up there just so that people get, you know, mentally shocked and debilitated and dejected. So, you know, just to look at it that way as well. It's like these cameras, some of these cameras that they've got everywhere, these surveillance societies, you know, that mm-hmm. like, it's sometimes it's not so much the camera that's watching me all the time, it's what you do, what you feel like after you see cameras everywhere.
How about smart meters?
Yeah.
Smart meters is another one.
I installed it yesterday. I said no. They said we'll be back.
Yep, no, that's what they told us too.
That they will be back. How do you mean?
Yep.
Sorry.
They'll be back. They said we're going to do this whether you like it or not. We'll be back. The guy said we'll be back. He goes, well, you know, I know people have said this, and we just end up returning to the same house 2 or 3 weeks later. So whatever, Hydra must, you know, phone them up and talk to them, send them letters or something. But they seem willing the second time around.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, as we all know, with the with the situation in Alaska, they can do a lot of things with hydroelectric power.
With the situation in Alaska, you're saying?
With the HAARP.
Yeah.
With HAARP, you know, the checker pattern programs or the checker pattern clouds in the sky are pretty creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But now this gives them control to do stuff in our house.
Wow, does it?
Yeah.
With smart meters, they can monitor our whole systems, our whole power. They can track whatever they want. Right through our hydrometer.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that some company in Germany had run some tests. I mean, you'd have to confirm this, but apparently they can't even go right into what channel you're watching, what movies you're watching.
Yep.
I don't know how they can do that.
Yeah,
but
they can. They said on the smart meter, not to get off track from the chemtrails, but. You know, they reassured everybody that no, this is not a monitored system whatsoever. But if you have a power failure, we can react within 2 to 4 minutes. How, if this is not a monitored system, can they react that fast?
Mm-hmm.
It's automatic, but then. Yeah.
There's still time that takes for things to go into play.
Mm-hmm.
So, as for now, we refused. We put up signs, and I emphasize it with everybody that's listening that may be wanting these smart meters is post it right on your hydrometer and say, no, we refuse to have a smart meter installed in our house.
Oh, yeah, you've been able to do that, Doug?
Yes, for now.
Yeah.
For now.
Well,
yeah,
I refused them yesterday. They came to my house yesterday.
Yeah.
And then he went away. He said, our job is not to fight with you, but we'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So make sure you have a posted sign there and you go through the hydro system. We've got the link on our website for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do you? Good.
Yeah. On the proper ways to do it so they don't install the smart meter.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, like, this is just another program like the, you know, the chemtrails, that it's a similar kind of mentality of trying to, you know, incapacitate people. And
yeah. Well, they always said that radio waves... you know, if you live anywhere close to radio waves, you get certain cancers.
Oh, yeah.
Or electrical lines, electrical power lines, and all the rest of this. And now they have control to do it right in our house.
Wow.
Well, that's just another creepy thought for the day. Besides the chemtrails, we can't even be safe inside our house because we're hiding from chemtrails.
yeah, really.
I'm so worried. I think I need a cigarette.
Yeah, so do I. And a coffee. I don't think they're no longer organically growing tobacco anyway. Or coffee beans.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, dear.
I think these are the last, the trajectory seems to be more freedom for individuals. So these, you know, we might also be on the, these are the last, these are the, they're before we actually get, you know, get to a point where people can actually generate free energy, get off the grid, you know, do, be their own banks and all sorts of things. We have this horrible, it's like the darkest before the dawn, they, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, this, you know, they're losing control, or they can see in the next, over the horizon, it's far more liberty for individuals.
Yeah.
So they're doing all they can to stop it. But the trajectory for human evolution or civilization or cultures has been towards more freedom, more liberty, more knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, unless we do a U-turn, I'm pretty hopeful. I have to be.
Oh, yeah.
We have to be. We all have to be hopeful.
What else are we going to do?
Someone's going to wake
get tickets
up.
For Panama?
For which?
What?
I said get tickets for Panama to run away. I mean, they're, you know, it seems like it's a stand up and fight somewhere, so do it here. It's probably easier to raise awareness here. Mind you, you know, it's harder. Even your own family, one would expect your own family to be far more inclined to listen, but they don't.
I know, it's terrible.
I've run across that same problem.
How's that, Doug?
I've run across the same problem with trying to instill the information about chemtrails to family, and they just say I'm crazy, and I said, well, no, that's Mr. Crazy, right? It's pretty tough.
It is. It's terrible. Terrible.
The lemmings are scheduled. You know, the lemmings are scheduled to go to Starbucks at 7:20 every morning, and they watch the news at 7:30, and they watch the news at lunch, but in between that, they grab a newspaper for some more depression.
So well, the newspaper doesn't tell them anything of what's going on in our society.
Nope.
No.
No. Free press thing where, you know, it would be nice if we could physically hand out newsletters to people on a regular basis, but there's just, at this time, I don't believe there's enough followers to be doing that.
No.
But it's to make others aware so that we have those followers so that perhaps the right person can start asking questions. Because everybody
else
documenting.
Documenting is a really good way, I think, to just at least, you know, with digital cameras, they're on our phones. These are really good ways. It's a digital journal for yourself. I think sometimes to, you know, if we don't take pictures and we don't know exactly what happened, we can't prove to people how the sky was last week. So if you just get into the habit, which I do, which is just take a, you know, look up, and if there's something, you know, of noticeable up there, you take a picture, you know, date it, or put, you know, set the time date on to automatically come on your camera, and it's there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you talk about the cameras because, you know, out of the 37 pictures I just flushed off my camera, only 3 of those pictures were family. The rest were chemtrails.
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
So, okay.
I don't know what to say. I guess, you know, if you're... you could be families and chemtrails.
Yeah, put the chemtrails in the background of the family portrait, right? Okay, this is what they're doing to us now.
Yeah, it's terrible. What do you think they're doing with the HAARP facility in the States at the moment? Do you see that they're kind of stalling great big heat wave? And
to me, according to I was really unfortunate when this specific checkerboard pattern was in the sky. I did not have my camera.
Oh, yeah.
It was definitely, I was talking to another fellow that pointed it out to me, and at first I looked at it, and I had to take my glasses off and wipe them off because I thought maybe somebody was playing a trick on me by drawing these lines across my glasses.
Yeah.
They were so perfect. It was actually, I was taken by it. How large of a pattern there was in the sky.
Yep. I have to agree with him. Yeah, I had a similar experience. I moved into an apartment and all my stuff was in a, it's just when I first became aware of chemtrails. And so I got into the habit of looking up at the sky, and I just moved into an apartment. I couldn't sleep, so I got up about 4:30 in the morning. First thing I did is open up the balcony door, and I went outside, and it looks like a barbecue grill is what it is. And it was really low, and it was like, so that sound. And it's just like being in the middle of a scary movie. I shut the balcony door, and I was just, I was mortified. I was like, I didn't see what I just saw. Did I just see what I just saw? No, it didn't. So then I opened up the door just to confirm to myself that I wasn't dreaming. And it was. There was this grid. It was like a barbecue grid across the entire sky, and it was low. Yeah. It was very low. This wasn't high, mm-hmm.
So it goes back to the question, actually. I just talked to an older lady. She's a bit nutty, according to some here in town, but I think she's just normal. She says, have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and hearing this high-pitched noise?
Wow. Mm.
And I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I have. She said, well, her friend, since she got the smart meter, going back to that, wakes up mm-hmm. all the time hearing that high-pitched noise.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, there's other, this radio frequency thing that they're sending off from Alaska. After seeing that barbecue grill in the sky...
Well, they have 30 facilities for that HAARP facility in Alaska, apparently,
yeah,
around
that's
the world.
Yeah, that's a smaller one compared to what they've got on the sea. They've got ones on huge barges out at sea.
Yeah.
Bigger, way bigger than what you see in Alaska. Because,
wow,
put it on a barge, you can go down to China, you can go down to Africa, and do whatever you want to do, right?
Folks. Yeah.
So, this intermittent blast that they're giving to what I think when we see those checkerboard-type patterns is they're giving that checkerboard pattern into chemtrail clouds. So what's the molecular structure changing into when they do that?
What do you think? Like that's how they're reflecting these beams down on us?
Well, I think that's a good part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
the
terminology
chemicals...
is barium plasma antennas. Is what they are. You'll see
which
those
all
big, thick, kind of shiny, snaky kind of lines in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're kind of shiny too. They got a sheen to them. Those are, from what I understand, are barium plasma antennas. The plasma antennas is what they are. It's barium. It's metal, so functions as an antenna in the sky.
Yeah.
Facilitates over the horizon radio communications in case the satellites go down. Right.
Yeah.
So they're testing all that kind of stuff too. Over the horizon radio communication.
Yeah.
And you can have them by having these plasma antennas across the sky, right? And send the signal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you remember in the beginning when we used to have cell phones and the joke was that, you'd have to always say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Well, We don't have that problem. Like about 4 weeks ago, it was really clear. It was a really, really clear, beautiful day. There was no spraying. And I had problems with my cell phone. And I went to my friend's house, and I said, did you have problems with it? She goes, yeah, I did. Well, the cell phone wasn't working. It was cutting in and out. And I just thought, you know, isn't that strange? Because it was an especially clear day today. Especially clear.
Yeah.
You know, those seldom that we see. And it's like, it's energized. Our signals are now going through the actual air. You know, they might not actually be sending it up to the satellites anymore.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I'm glad we're doing this in the middle of the day and not at the end of the day, because I wouldn't be sleeping tonight.
Yeah, really. Well, it's the end of the day here. Okay.
That's right.
So what can we do then? What can human beings do on this planet? What can we do? I don't know how
tell whoever's going to listen. You know, spread it. Mm-hmm. Spread the word as best as we can to the capabilities of being called whatever you want to be called. I mean, I don't really care myself.
Yes.
But if I want to put a point across, somebody's going to listen.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Yeah, educate, first of all, you know, get the terminology out, get to know what it is. Deal with it psychologically, because I think that you can't discount that. That's for sure. I dealt with. I was really angry in the beginning, and I felt really betrayed by the mayor, our government, everybody. I just suspected everybody knew. They were telling us. So we got to get over that too.
So what was your belief in that when you went to your mayor? Why didn't he do something? He said he couldn't do anything because it was offshore or something.
I felt that they must have seen it. It's so obvious. I mean, there was one time where there was this, like, these lines so close to the horizon. There was this low, and then they all, within a half hour of the pictures of it, they became haze. The entire city was under haze. And I just thought, you know, of course the cops know this. Of course the people at airports know this. They know that they were being sprayed, and they don't care. They're in on it. And then just, you know, talking, phoning, like, the police people, the policemen in the office and stuff, and talking with them, and, you know, they're just they think there's contrails.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a conspiracy as far as they're concerned. I mean, they're not in on the loop. I think there was somebody at the airport that I called that wasn't on the loop, because they played around with me for a while. I told them, you know, I would like to have an actual phone number rather than an email. And, well, actually, they had no email either. I just said, I want to talk to somebody about what I'm seeing in the sky at this moment right now. Mm-hmm. And your air quality department. And the guy just kept me on the line for 15 minutes saying, oh, I'm looking for it to stay on the line. This was at the Vancouver Airport Authority, for God's sakes. And I said, you're playing with me, aren't you? It was just like a read out of a movie. You know, you don't expect this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just sit there. Oh, my God. Did I just have a weird conversation with somebody who works for the city who was, you know, I don't know, you know, I guess misleading me, you know? Oh, and then I realized, you know, just you get over it, and you just go, okay, you got to go and become knowledgeable and just talk to people who will listen, just like Beck said. The people are waking up.
Yeah, I hope they wake up very quickly. Yeah, really quickly.
You know? I don't know what to say. Sometimes I'm, especially people with kids, you know, you just think that we've just been trained, you know. People are more likely to believe somebody in a suit sitting behind a desk driving a really fancy car. We're just, you know, we're programmed to that's the person who's going to tell you the truth, is somebody who's, you know, other than that, it's questionable. They're a kook. They just go around saying that for no apparent reason. I don't know why, but I think, you know, I don't know if that is a recent conditioning, but that's what it seems like.
Yeah, it does.
My God.
What do you think, Doug?
Well, it's nuts, you know. It's just a matter of trying to convince people without the politician's explanation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the controversy behind it, and you know, just show the things. I'm just a firm believer of just showing. Here's the fact, right?
Yeah.
Here's what's going on right now. This is stuff you can visualize.
Mm-hmm.
This is stuff you can add one and one together.
Yeah. And it's pretty overwhelming to think that this detachment is in NATO, and it's kind of like in these Air Force bases. Well, I mean, it's hard to even know. Like, is it done by NATO or is it done by the UN? Does anyone have any? Go ahead.
I think NATO is, you know, they're sort of, these are sort of world organizations or logistically. I know that a lot of these pilots might, first of all, some of them might be remote controlled planes, and a lot of them are also told global warming, that they're actually doing something that's really good for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, they've been scheduled, again, the lemming scheduling, right? They've gone through briefings, they've gone through this,
mm-hmm.
and this is why we're doing it, and this is what we're doing it for, and, you know, oh, by the way, before you take this plane and fly over British Columbia, take this pill. Now, this will avoid you getting sick. Back to the New World Order thing, right?
Yeah. So these people, so they run out of the UN, you think, or the World Health Organization. What were you saying on that?
I think it's got some, personally I feel that, yeah, it's somebody who's got jurisdiction, a global jurisdiction, and that can only be offices associated with the United Nations and...
Is it not true that there are not chemtrails in China? Do we know that?
Well, according to the the information we were just that I read
mm-hmm.
for you, apparently there isn't any more chemtrails in China. But I would like to really get the support of possibly somebody, you know, from China to say that, yes, indeed, they stopped the spraying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a good argument for our sake on this side of the water to say, well, look, here's proof and here's what they stopped doing in China.
Mm-hmm.
If they stopped it there, why aren't they doing it here?
Yeah.
Well,
China's had experience. I mean, you remember they had the Opium Wars. They had a foreign country. In that case, it was Britain, England, who came in and got all the young generation became opium addicts, right? And that's how they were able to conquer China.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To them, historically, it's nothing new to, you know, to have a foreign country come in and somehow try to sabotage your population.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That nasty queen.
It's a nasty queen, yeah. That's a good one.
Okay, so... So we're going to announce our chemtrail competition, and we hopefully get it done before November, and do it this year in Vancouver, and So what we want to do, yeah, so we want to plan for that. And then we also wanted to plan for people across Canada to start chemtrailing the movies in your place. And then submit that to the council in your place, wherever that place may be. So we were hoping that people would get on board this and start trying to submit these videos to their councils. I'm not sure how far we're going to get with that, but at least we'll be able to produce our own chemtrail movies.
Right.
Yes. So I will post it on, I guess I'll post it on both websites, but there'll be an opportunity to explain more of it on the CanadaSkyWatch.com site. And I guess we'll give you the, Doug as well, the information as well, so it's good for you to post it on your Lillooet, isn't it?
Yeah,
we will. Lillooet, your website?
Yeah.
And get as many people to get involved in this across Canada. The details of the and I guess we'll make up a channel or something and post these videos on YouTube, right?
Yep.
Can we do that?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Absolutely.
We'll
put them onto, we can actually put them on Vimeo as well, a couple of others, so the audience is over there as well, can see it. And go from there. I guess we'll, gather as many people, as many submissions, and then decide in November.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. So I'm going to keep you guys on for a while more, because can you hold on?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, great. Okay, so, then that's what we'll do. We'll plan that, and we'll plan it for November, and let's all try to watch that the California conference on chemtrails, because we've got to plot our agenda against what they're doing. I know Tony today wasn't here, and he had an objection to Michael Murphy's new movie,
objections.
Say again.
They're minor objections.
Yeah, are they?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where he gets that. These people are trying to mislead. certainly, they've woken up a lot of people, spent a lot of time, money, and they've come to the same conclusions. They certainly don't come to the conclusion that, look, they're not spraying. They come to the conclusion that they are spraying, and it's dangerous whatever they're spraying. And we've got to wait. So, his argument or his objection was that there was one particular one point where they pointed to a contrail, and they said it was a chemtrail. They pointed to a chemtrail and said it was a contrail. So it was a misdesignation, and I think that was a minor, as far as I was concerned. It's an hour and a half, 2 hour movie, and that shot that he was talking about was literally seconds within the movie.
Yeah, good. Okay. I know I had Mike Murphy on my show about 2 months ago, and when he was on my show, I asked him, like, I thought that their emphasis on geoengineering with these chemtrails, that was a misfocus. I thought the focus really needed to be on the poisoning of the Canadian people or the American people. And it was funny, his response to that question. He kind of agreed with me, but he just went on kind of doing what he was normally doing. Anyway, I'll have to see it.
Okay, goodbye. I'm not quite sure. They're always talking. You're talking about maybe terminology or something. I take away from his movies that, look, they're spraying, chemicals or poisons in the air. It's affecting wildlife. It's affecting people adversely. It's LOD, and they bring up, I don't know if they've mentioned more gallons, but I know they've just, you know, discussed the consequences, the health consequences. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, maybe it's the terminology. Maybe some people are saying chemtrails now. I know there's like four or five, six terms actually now that they have for chemtrails.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like the chemtrails. I like those.
out of all of them?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer the chemtrails. That's very good description of what is being secreted up in our environment and it comes down on us. Yeah.
Yes. So, excuse me. Yes.
I
have no problems with his stuff. I personally have no problems. I don't know what Doug thinks, but I have...
I'd have to watch it again and see it. Because, I mean, if that's his focus is on these are coming down and poisoning us, well, then that's got to be the primary focus, you know?
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, when you start getting sidetracked from the initial what you're doing it about is when people get lost interest, and then people start thinking you're nutty, and... you know, that's kind of where I'm trying to convince people in English without going off on these tangents about all this other stuff and conspiracy theories with how things are linked together.
Yeah.
That's a tough one for a lot of people to digest. They just can't, you know, the whole surprise thing about the chemtrails to begin with is enough and overwhelming that they don't want to hear about all this other stuff as well.
Yeah.
You know, they're only able to digest a little bit of something at a time, not be overwhelmed with, holy, where is my mind going now? Like, what should I really be looking at?
Yes.
For sure.
I agree with that.
I've been there several times.
Well, in the next movie that's coming up, that's what he's going to talk about, which is a question that I've stayed away from, which is why are they spraying? Because I don't know why they're spraying. I can tell you that they are spraying, but that's the name of the movie, and that's what they hope to actually talk about.
I mean, we know some things that they're spraying, like they are spraying aluminum and barium and strontium and heavy metals and various kind of nanoparticles. So we know they're spraying those kinds of things. So those come down and we breathe them in.
Yeah.
So we know that that's true. And different people would respond differently to what cocktails they received from the chemtrails, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people different have different affinities in different parts of their body, what they would respond to. So,
Truth Denied is another website by Roxy Lopez. She does regular interviews with people who are suffering from Morgellons. If people would like to hear what Morgellons disease, which they can go to Truth Denied with Loxy Lopez. And then the person who's actually doing the research, the scientific research, he doesn't sit down and interview people with Morgellons. He just provides you resources, his data findings of what it is. And that's Carnicom, Carnicom.com Institute.
How wide do you think Morgellons is? Like, how wide? Like, because, I mean, only a certain portion of the populace get Morgellons.
She's from the 1960s. I forgot her name. Yellow Taxi, the big Yellow Taxi took my own man away. Who's that? Joni Mitchell. Mitchell has Morgellons.
She has
a website. On her website, she talks about it. There's a baseball player. His entire family, I think he's from California. He's got it. quite a few people in California because they've been doing this longer down there than anywhere else.
Wow, boy, if these people ever got arrested for what they've done, that would just be something.
That's okay. We're just trying to get onto our Skywatch Lillooet BC website right now.
Uh-huh.
And we can't get on it.
Oh, wow.
We got booted off of it or something just happened. We can't get on it.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear.
I should go and check.
Well, I'm going to keep you for 20 more minutes anyway, so.
20 minutes? Wow, that's a long time, but that's okay.
Okay, so, my goodness, so what else do you think is happening in terms of the weather lately? I wanted to come back to that.
With our weather here has been unusual. Well, we do get hot here in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Is it hot now?
Oh, yeah, it's hot now. It's I don't know what it is here. I'm actually going to go outside and risk going outside to check.
Okay.
it's about 33 degrees here right now.
Wow, wow. Oh, yeah, so Vancouver.
It's about 92 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Well,
it's
cool
Vancouver. Today.
Vancouver's colder, isn't it?
It's a bit cooler. Right now there's big puffy clouds, but then right behind that you'll see that the sky is not blue. It's a very faded baby sort of powder blue, which means that they've got a sheen over it. That there's a sheen just above that, a sort of like a chemdome, I like to call it. Right now in place.
Where it blows in off the coast there to Vancouver.
Where I'm sorry?
It blows in off the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but then though I've seen the odd, you'll see the planes that, I mean, I'm not talking about the planes. I see the planes with the contrails. They're obvious. It dissipates right behind them. And they fly very high. You can hardly see the plane.
Yeah.
And the contrail dissipates behind them. I'm talking about the ones that fly really low. And you can see, stuff spewing out of the back of the back of the plane. And it stays and it lingers and it spreads.
Wow.
I have a Twitter site, actually, Stop Chemtrails, off of Twitter.com. And I've got like over 500 followers there. And there's a guy from Ireland at the moment, and he's posting pictures. It's just, I've got people from all over the world, and they post their pictures, right? They've got Twitter accounts, and I don't know how to go about posting pictures on Twitter, but I do know that, rather than their two sentences, they actually just say, look at my picture. And every day I look at these pictures from around the world where people are, you see the chemtrails, or you see this hazy sky, you see the sun, there's a ring around the sun. And actually I was talking with a guy, when you want to determine what kind of metal you're working with and you don't know what kind of metal it is, what you do is you take some shreddings from it and you put it through I forgot the long name for it, but anyway, and you shine a light through it, and depending on the light, so like a rainbow that forms, depending on the lights in this rainbow that forms, you can tell what kind of alloy, what kind of metals are in there.
Yeah.
And so I was saying, if I look at the halo around the sun, it's not an actual seven, it's not a full, it's not, that doesn't have the full colors of the rainbow. It's actually just orange and brown and yellow. And I said, so by that I can determine that whatever is in front of the sun is metallic in nature. It can't be water molecules because you don't get the full spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, that's how you would look at it. So when you see that halo around the sun, and people have been watching or looking around, it's not. It's sort of like a rainbow ring around the sun, but it's not the full colors of the rainbow. It's only two or three colors.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I've actually seen.
So you know that there's medical particles in the air. Those are medical, metal particles.
Yeah.
Because you're getting something, you know that it's metal. You're getting, an effect, a shiny effect, but
a
prism effect. But it's not water because it doesn't have a
full spectrum. We've actually seen in the blue sky football field size cloud clumps that have had all these colors in them.
Oh.
And it's kind of creepy to see that cloud go across the sky. It's like rainbows don't travel like that.
Yeah, really.
Well, rainbows are arched. They're not. Rainbows are not in a cloud.
Yeah.
Yes, I have seen those. These are. Just take pictures when you see them, aren't you? I've got my camera handy right beside me. It's one of those tall photo things with lens on it.
Yeah.
And you just take these and you mark them, and you have a photo journal. Build up for your own benefit too. First of all, you got to convince yourself, and then show the journals to people, photo journal to people.
Yeah, wow, that would be a good idea to have a journal of chemtrails to take across Canada. Put it up in the different places. Sorry?
Yeah, and send them to your local officials.
Yeah. Okay, so, what do you think?
I think? I know that they're, that I, 2 years, three or four, I guess it was 3 years ago, I did run across a magazine. It's called Urban Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long story how I came across this magazine. It was kind of freaky, actually. But in any case, the cover of this magazine, first of all, Urban Magazine is for people who like to do urban hydroponics. It's based a chemical magazine. It's about the chemicals that you would use to grow in an urban environment, so you're not using so much dirt, but you're using chemicals, and it's called Urban Magazine. And on the front cover, there was a skyline, and there was a plane high up spewing stuff out of the back of the plane. Just all sorts of stuff was coming out of it, and then there was a dome over this city. The city was sort of like in silhouette. And then just above this chemical dome, there was like a honeycomb wire mesh. And I showed it to someone, and they said, oh, that's the skyline of Chicago. And then just outside of the dome, everything was charred and smoking. And I read the entire magazine from cover to cover, and there was no explanation of the picture of the cover.
Oh yeah.
Pictures,
so
explanation.
It was just put there just to deceive or something.
Yeah, I guess planting seeds, right? Planting seeds in our minds of accepting these things.
Yeah, I did. I looked at that picture on your website, and it was. I kind of laughed at it. It's like, hey, well, this is exactly what's happening with the big jet right on the. Spraying the cloud over the dome, right?
Yeah. Wow, goodness.
So, I don't know. I'm just telling people, doing shows like this is a wonderful thing. Getting our chops together so we can be, better at explaining to people. I think this is great. What's happening right now at this moment? Talking.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And it's compiling stuff that we can find. And there's been water controversies in this town for quite a few years. And they've done some testing in the mountains here of some water. And on the report, they had questioned why there was a high aluminum count in the one stream.
Oh, really? Oh.
No houses, no industry, no nothing in the area that they tested.
Wow.
So I've been trying hard to dig and get that information so that I could have it in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of running against a dead end here. It's but I'll get it. But that's the type of stuff we need to show people and say, well, look, this stream in the mountains has a high content of aluminum. There's no smelter here. There's no industry here. There's no houses here. How can this be?
Yeah.
That's what's happening with Mount Shasta.
Yeah, well, they tested that up towards the summit of the point, didn't they? And they found that it was like 20,000 times, or I'm not sure what that note was. Like,
yes, they found, and the guy was showing, the farmer, he was showing around his farm. He was going around and saying, look at this pond, look at this, the life around my farm here. It's dying. In fact, one of the guys, Gary, I think you met him here, he just recently went in and got a testing for heavy metals in his body, and it came back that he had a really high count of strontium.
Wow.
So I guess, we've got strontium going around here. That's also one of the things that they're spraying, too, barium, strontium, and aluminum.
Yeah.
Particulates. These are, I guess these facilitate conductivity, right? They make the air conductive.
Where would you ordinarily get strontium from? Do you know?
I wouldn't know.
I don't think you would unless you worked in an industry that had it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I would have thought, too. Yeah.
They're heavier metals, yeah, so they would be in the ground.
Yeah.
They would be mining and so on and so forth. It's not something that...
Well, see, a lot of the metals aren't naturally occurring until after the smeltering process.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a fine line there, like with the aluminum. Aluminum doesn't just show up. Aluminum can't show up. It is processed. It is a processed product. It is a finished product. The actual material used for the process of aluminum will not read aluminum.
It will not read aluminum?
Nope. If you had it tested, if you put some of the raw product that aluminum is made out of in a jar, shook it up with some water, had it taken in, it would not show that it was actual aluminum. Because the aluminum only comes out after the smeltering process.
Oh, yeah.
So we should be getting no readings of aluminum whatsoever.
Yeah.
Unless we live close by aluminum smelter plant.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm using for an argument as well with a lot of people that say, well, you're crazy, going, well, the products that are coming, that are showing up here, are only products that are created after the smeltering process. They don't naturally occur, like arsenic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Arsenic will be a natural occurrence through mineralization.
Yeah.
But aluminum is not a natural.
Yeah.
Even though they say, yeah.
So, okay.
And aluminum is, I think it was researchers in France that linked it to Alzheimer's. They, checked to see people who, they passed away, the people with Alzheimer's passed away, and they examined their brain and carried out a study, and they said, these people have proportionately higher amounts of aluminum in their brain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a neurotoxin is what it is. These are particulates are so small that they actually can break the brain barrier. And we have no physical, we have not built up a physical resistance to this stuff because they're making them so small, nano size. It just goes straight up into the brain and builds up. So
yeah.
Boy. Okay. Okay, so, well, Doug, thanks for coming on the show today.
No problem. No problem. It was nice talking to you guys again. It's been a stretch since I ran into you guys, and I appreciate this, and we will definitely be in contact.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah,
We're having, actually,
I think it's in a couple of days, there's going to be it's called a Wake Up Film Festival out here, and a guy is organizing it.
Oh.
And one of the films that we're going to be showing, or he's going to be showing, is What in the World Are Spraying. It's down here in Vancouver, if you get a chance to come on down. It's a whole bunch of films, so it's not, you know, specifically the occasion or the event isn't geared towards specifically chemtrails. However, mm-hmm. one of the films will be about chemtrails.
Yeah, wow, right, excellent. So, Doug, give out your website once again.
It's Skywatch Lillooet, BC.
Okay, BC. Okay, great. Okay, well, thanks for...
Which is currently down for some reason.
Yeah, really. I don't know how that happened. So,
I don't know.
Yours is down too?
I haven't checked. I said I don't know. I'd have to go and check right now. But I was I was on it as I'm speaking to you, and I had no problems.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
We'll figure it out. We'll get her back up and running anyway.
Okay, Doug. Well, thanks a lot for joining us today, and we'll have to plan another future event when we come back on again.
Sounds good.
Okay. Take care, Doug.
Keep your tinfoil hats on.
Okay. Bye, Doug.
Okay, bye.
Okay, Asina. Wow, pretty heavy stuff, eh? It's just so terrible. I just can't imagine it. It's so disturbing to me.
It is. But you've done a great job. You've made two videos about it. I've been sending it out. Did you manage to make contact with that other guy that was in Ottawa?
No, I didn't get his address. I had mailed him before trying to get his address to send it to me. I'll have to get back to it. I'll have to get back to that.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's the guy because he's want to actually go at this through the criminal code, and he's located 3 sections in the Canadian Criminal Code that we can bring against parties, any parties that we view are affiliated with this program, this chemtrail program.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good step, too, is we've got to get, get some pro bono lawyers, I guess, get on this. I mean, after all, they're being affected, too. Hopefully they want to do it for free. So I don't certainly have the money to hire lawyers.
Yeah, nor do I, but well, it'd be something to try to consider somehow. It's hard to know, like, what city are they not targeting? Like, because it's like they're targeting all of us in a way. It's very odd. I don't quite get it, but...
It's all NATO countries, from what I heard. So there's basically when you become a signatory to NATO, they will ask and you will, to get sprayed. And you probably end up having to pay for it, too. I imagine this carbon tax, I don't know out in Ontario if you guys pay a carbon tax, but out here we pay 15% on our utility bills. And right beside it says carbon tax. So I'm imagining that they're pulling money from this. I mean, so we're paying for this.
Oh yeah,
we're paying to be gassed.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Do you guys pay carbon tax out there on the utility bills?
I don't know. I have to look on my phone bill.
Yeah, no, not the phone bill.
Sorry, the...
utility.
Yeah, the utility bill. Oh, for the utilities.
Yeah, it'll be hydro or it'll be whoever is supplying you with natural gas or something like that.
Oh, yeah, no, okay, I'll have to have a look. Okay, thanks, Asana. Thanks for staying on so long and being here through the whole 2 hours. And can you give out your addresses once again?
Sure. It's CanadaSkyWatch.com, and that is an archive of video documentaries, interviews and lectures, and eyewitness accounts of people around the world who have posted the YouTube videos. And the other one is Vancouver Skywatch, and that is a list of links of websites around the world of people who have set up websites specifically for chemtrails. And then there's also a section which is the data resources. And so these are, you know, political officials or scientists or, you know, people who are doing research, who are putting forward data, research data. And then also, you know, a bunch of links. So, you know, there's hundreds of links to go through on that one.
That's excellent.
To give you an idea of the scope of how big this is. It is awesome in terms of how much and how many places they are spraying.
Yeah, it's terrible. I notice it being back here in Ontario, just south of Ottawa, and we're being sprayed here just constantly. You know, it's just so many planes up there that go in different directions. Like, I found that really the planes don't go from one end of the environment to the other, spraying a straight line. Well, they do sometimes, but more often what it is just spraying. Just spraying, like, you know, for about a quarter of a mile about, and doing stuff like that more here. It's very odd. Anyway. Thanks for being on, Asana, and I'll get your name right yet.
yeah, sure. It's actually A, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, A-N-E-H. So, you'll get it, don't worry. Hopefully. Maybe the chemtrails got to you.
I think so, mainly. When I got home, it was funny. I lost my memory of my video gaming and my video camera, and I couldn't get anywhere on my video cameras, and it's been really funny. I don't know what's happened since I've gotten home, but there's been definite changes somehow in something like that, and so thanks for.
Yeah, the cilantro. Cilantro. Go get cilantro extract,
mm-hmm.
And that'll help you for the chelation process. That'll detoxify. Also, clay is really good if you spread clay around yourself. Anyway, you can go to a website. It's called earthclinic.com, and they actually address that. They address the issue of environmental hazards like chemtrails. I was so surprised when I got there. But this is a website where people put, it's a compendium from all over the world. People put in their household items. So it's not about pills or anything like that. It's about just household ingredients that you can use to help yourself to get over, you know, your various diseases. I was so surprised.
I'm going to have to let you go Yep.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Sorry,
thank you. Take care.
Yeah,
bye.
Goodbye. And this is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Show, www.zeropoint.ca. Please have a look at my website, and thank you, BBS. Goodbye.